بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الجزاء وبعد. Welcome everyone to our weekly حلقة, our weekly study circle with Wise, and we have begun, alhamdulillah, we began the text of Maraqi al-Sa'adat fi ilm al-tawheed, ma'iyya al-tawheed wal-ibadat of Imam Abu al-Ikhlas Hassan al-Shurmbulali al-Hanafi rahimahullah, one of the sort of Hanafi primers, sort of beginner text, sort of intermediate texts on doctrine and sort of personal fiqh, particularly ritual. So last week we read up to page 24 in this Arabic edition, that you should be able to see on the page where the ayah says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. So there's nothing, there is not a thing, not a single thing in creation that doesn't glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we stop there. So we're going to read from نَحْمَدُهُ عَلَى نِعْمِهِ. So بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال العلامة الجليل أبو الإخلاص الحسن الشرمبلالي نفعنا الله به. He says, the great Imam, نحمده على نعمه المترادفات فإنه خالق بلا حاجة ورازق بلا كلفة مميت بلا مخافة باعث بلا مشقة ما زال بصفاته قديما قبل خلقه لم يزدد صفة لم تكن قبل خلقهم فهو رب ولا مربوب خالق ولا مخلوق محيي مميت قبل الإحياء والإماتة ذلك بأنه على كل شيء قدير وكل شيء إليه فقير وكل أمر عليه يسير لا يحتاج إلى شيء لم يخفى عليه شيء خلق الخلق وقدر الآجال والأرزاق وعلم ما هم عاملون قبل خلق الكائنات وأمر بطاعته ونهى عن معصيته وكل شيء يجري بقدرته ومشيئته يعصم من يشاء ويحفظ فضلا ويضل من يشاء ويخذله عدلا فلا راد لقضائه ولا معقب لحكمه الخير والشر مقدران على العباد. So here, rahimahullah, he says that we praise Allah for all the bounties and blessings He's given us, the continuous blessings He's given us. He is the creator without any need. He is a sustainer without any difficulty. He gives. He's the one who causes death without any fear, and He's the one who resurrects without any mashaqqa, without any difficulty. He has always been pre-eternal before He created anything, i.e. all of creation. And He did not acquire, gain any new attributes that He did not have before. Prior to creating anything, Allah didn't suddenly gain an attribute. He was Lord without any servant, creator without any creation, and the giver of life and the taker of life before having given any life or death. And so he is also, he has power over everything. بِأَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. He has power over everything, and everything is dependent on Him. Every matter is easy for Him. لا يحتاج إلى شيء. He isn't in need, جل وعلا, of anything. Nothing escapes his knowledge. He created all of creation, and he gave everything its وقدر الآجال والأرزاق. He apportioned or destined or fixed, determined the lifespan of all things and the sustenance of all things. He knew what anyone was going to do before they did it. From pre-eternity, before he created anything, he knew what each creature was going to do. He has commanded creation to obey him, and he has prohibited them from disobeying. Everything in creation, يجري بقدرته ومشيئته. Everything that exists runs its course, you know, continues along only because of Allah's power and will. So Allah's power enables it to continue along its trajectory, and only because of his will. He protects whoever he wants. وَيَحْفَظُهُ فَضْلًا. And he does it out of his grace. And he يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, and he makes people lose their way. وَيَخْذُلُهُ عَدْلًا. So he's the one who diverts people from the straight path. And he forsakes and leaves whoever he wants out of his justice. Nothing can turn away his decree, his qada, his decree. And there can be no one who can prevent or object to his hukum, his decision, his injunctions. All good, khayr, and all shar, evil, muqaddaran ala al-ibad. All things, whether they're good or bad, have been predestined for his creatures. So these are actions of Allah Azza wa Jal that, you know, shows that Allah is entirely worship worthy. These are the attributes, amongst all the other attributes, of course, that have been mentioned before as well, that make Allah Azza wa Jal the only one worthy of worship. So he's worship worthy. Then he, rahimahullah, he says, وَأَفْعَالُ الْعِبَادِ خَلْقُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَكَسْبٌ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ وَلَمْ يُكَلِّفُهُمُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِمَا يُطِيقُونَهُ وَلَا يُطِيقُونَهُ إِلَّا مَا كَلَّفَهُمْ وَهُوَ تَفْسِيرٌ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمِ نقول لا حيلة لأحد ولا حول لأحد ولا حركة لأحد عن معصية إلا بمعونة الله ولا قوة لأحد على إقامة طاعة الله والثياب عليها إلا بتوفيق الله عز وجل وكل شيء. Then he says, وكل شيء يجري بمشيئة الله وعلمه وقدره وقضائه فغلبت مشيئته المشيئات كلها وغلب قضاؤه العيل كلها يفعل الله ما يشاء وهو غير ظالم أبدا تقدس عن كل سوء وحين وتنزه عن كل عيب وشين ولا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون يملك كل شيء فلا يعجزه شيء ولا غنى عنه طرفة عين ومن استغنى عن الله طرفة عين فقد كفر. And we read this bit last week, but we're just going over some of the parts that we read. So it mentions here that the actions of all creatures are fall under the creative act of Allah. But all human beings do is they acquire their actions. They don't create them because they have no power to create anything. Rather, they acquire the power that Allah creates in them and the ability that Allah creates in them. And then Allah doesn't burden anyone. That Allah doesn't burden anyone more than that which more than that they can bear, but yet they can't bear any more than that He has burdened them with. And this is the phrase "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." This is what that means: that there is no power nor might except through Allah, sublime, the sublime, the great. So no one has any strategy, any way of any power or strength or strategy to try and thwart or do contrary to what Allah Azza wa Jalla has already decided and decreed. So there is no hila, no strategy for anyone. Wala hawla li ahadin. There's no power that anyone has. Wala haraka, no movement. Wala haraka li ahadin. An ma'asiyati. No one can even disobey Allah except by Allah's permission to allow it. So no one has the power or the ability to disobey Allah, and no one has the power or ability to even worship Allah, even unless Allah Azza wa Jal allows them to. So this is the this is showing human beings our utter helplessness before Allah Azza wa Jalla, before His power. There isn't in anything in creation that Allah that can act contrary to Allah's power, will, or His decisions. Whether that's acts of creation that involve worshipping Him or acts of creation that involve disobeying Him. So all matters take place according to the power and the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So that's that on that part. And then it says, the wal-istita'atu allati yajibu biha wal-istita'atu allati yajibu biha al-fi'lu bit-tawfiq alladhi la yajuzu an yusafa bihi al-makhluq fahiya ma'a al-fi'l wa amma al-istita'atu min jihati as-sihha والوسع والتمكين وسلامة الآلات فهي قبل الفعل آمنا بذلك كله. So then he says that the ability, the ability to do an act, the ability to do an act is only possible, the ability to do an act is only possible if Allah enables someone through His grace to do it. Yeah? So capacity, the capacity which is necessary, which is required to do an action, but the power that's required to do an action, we can't ascribe that power to any creature unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows a person to do that action, unless He gives them grace and tawfiq to do that action. So no creation can be ascribed with any enabling power or grace, any tawfiq, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ability to do an act, the grace or the enabling power or the enabling bounty to do an act, the tawfiq, that cannot be ascribed to any creature. That would not be right to ascribe to any creature. So this ability, like things like having one's health, siha, wal-wusr, the capacity, the tamkeen, the preparedness, the salamatul alat, the correct limbs, the sound functioning limbs, these are all necessary for us to do an act, but these aren't they alone cannot bring about the act unless Allah gives them the power to do what they're supposed to do, to function in the way they're supposed to function. So before any act is done, one's health, one's capacity, one's preparedness to do the act, one's limbs, this istita'a, all this that comes together to form the power to do an act, this is not possible unless Allah enables a person to do that act out of his tawfiq, out of his enabling power. So this is again the emphasis of human beings' utter inability to do anything unless Allah Azza wa Jal allows them to do it. So then he says, Rahimahullah. So after mentioning that really creation is helpless before Allah, that creation is powerless before the one who has all power, and the fact that we have no ability to do anything except and unless Allah enables us to do it. Unless he enables us to do it. So when we do our actions, yes, we can will to do the actions, but there is no efficacy to that will. There is nothing that can follow from that will unless, i.e. that choice, that act of the will, unless Allah Azza wa Jal gives us the activates in us the ability that he's given us, unless that's activated and enabled by Allah's grace and power, then we can will all we want, we cannot do it. We cannot do any action. آمَنَّ بِذَلِكَ كُلِّ And we believe in all this with conviction. We believe in all this we believe in all the above that he just mentioned with conviction. And then he says, what else do we believe, rahimahullah? He says, وَآمَنَّ بِأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَبْدُهُ الْمُصْطَفَى وَنَبِيُّهُ الْمُجْتَبَى وَرَسُولُهُ الْمُنْتَضَى خَاتِمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَإِمَامُ الْأَتْقِيَاءِ وَسَيِّدُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَحَبِيبُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَكُلُّ دَعْوَةٍ نَبُوَّةٍ بَعْدَ نَبُوَّتِهِ بَغْيٌ وَكُفْرٌ وَهُوَ الْمَبْعُوثُ إِلَى عَامَّةِ الْجِنِّ وَكَافَةِ الْوَرَى بالحق والهدى أظهر الله لثبوت رسالته المعجزات كإنشقاق القمر ومشي الشجر وتسليم الحجر وإخبار المغيبات. Then he, rahimahullah, he said, we believe that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama is Allah's, you know, best, his noble servant and the chosen one. His chosen servant. وَالنَّبِيُّ الْمُجْتَبَى And he is Allah's selected prophet. وَرَسُولُهُ الْمُقْتَضَى He is the messenger that has won Allah's absolute pleasure. He is the last of the prophets, the leader of all the pious ones, the seal of the prophets, the leader of the pious ones, the leader of all, the master of all the messengers. He is the beloved of all of the Lord of the worlds. كل دعوة نبوة بعد نبوته بغي وكفر. Every claim to prophecy after him is pure heresy and kufr, utter disbelief. He is the one sent with truth and guidance to jinn and humankind. Allah manifested, you know, pure and clear miracles to verify his messengership, his prophecy. And these include inshaqaq al-qamar, splitting the moon, the tree walking, the rock, the stone, saluting the Prophet, sending salams on him, alayhi afdalu salat wa atamu taslim, wa ikhbar al-mughayyibat, and the Prophet informing about the unseen realm. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ بِلَا كَيْفِيَّةٍ قَوْلًا وَأَنْزَلَهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّهِ وَحْيًا وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا وَأَيْقَنُوا أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ بِالْحَقِيقَةِ لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ لَا يُشْبِهُ قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ وَمَنْ وَصَفَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِمَعْنَى مِنْ مَعَانِي الْبَشَرِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ Then he continues, rahimahullah, we also believe that the Quran is the speech, the kalam of Allah, speech of Allah. Bila kayfiyatin qawla, speech that does not have, speech without modality. Bila kayfiyya qawla, without, it is the word, it is a speech of Allah without delving into what is the nature of that speech. What is the nature of that speech? The howness of it. وَأَنزَلَهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّهِ وَحْيًا. And we believe that this was revealed to his prophet as revelation, and the believers confirm its truth, and they are convinced that it is literally the speech of Allah, not a speech that is created. وَأَيْقَنُوا أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ بِالْحَقِيقَةِ لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ. No speech of no human creaturely speech can resemble the Quran, the Kalam of Allah. Whoever ascribes or claims any human characteristics, معنى من معاني البشر, whoever من وصف الله تعالى بمعنى من معاني البشر فقد كفر. Whoever describes Allah with human or creaturely characteristics, he has disbelieved. He has committed kufr. Then he says, rahimahullah, نؤمن بأن الله خلق الخلق وأعمالهم وقدر أرزاقهم وآجالهم وكل يستوفي رزقه حلالا أو حراما إذ لا يتصور أن لا يأكل إنسان رزقه أو يأكل غيره رزقه. That we believe that Allah created all creatures as well as their actions. He measured out their lifespan, قدر أرزاق, their sustenance and their lifespan, أجلهم. And everyone receives, كل يستوفي رزقه حلالا أو حراما. Everyone gets their rizq, whether that rizq is something that is lawful or unlawful, everyone will get it. Because it's inconceivable for any human to consume the rizq of another or vice versa. So one's rizq, one's sustenance, whether it's the whatever is gained lawfully or unlawfully, that will be, the person will get that sustenance. And no one can thwart them in gaining that sustenance. No one takes the sustenance of another. Everyone takes their own sustenance, or acquires their, or gains their own sustenance. So this is a sort of quite important here to mention. Some of these, see, these matters of ajal and rizq, these, well, when we look at creation and we look at reality and study reality, we see that the cause of our rizq is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And the cause of our lifespan ending, our ajal ending, is only occurs by the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah's life, what ends our life, what causes our death, sorry, is our lifespan that is decreed by Allah, our ajal that's decreed by Allah. Not anything, not any cause that we seem to sense in creation, or we think it's the cause of death. So let me sort of try and explain it. I'm saying it in a confusing way. Our sustenance that we get in creation, that doesn't come through any fixed cause in the world. We might think, but it doesn't. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our cause of death is not anything that occurs in creation, because of any cause in creation. It occurs only from the ajal, which is decreed by Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, what does that mean? That means that when we look at reality and study the empirical reality, the sensible reality, we see that we think our rizq is gained by certain means. Like we get a job. If Allah blesses us to have a job, we think our rizq is caused by our employment. We think that's the cause of our rizq. Like, because of that job, I'm getting my rizq. But this is not correct. Because a cause, something which is a cause of another thing, means that it brings about its effect. So if there's a cause, if there's A, then there's B. If there's a cause, then there's an effect. So the two are always connected together. But when we look at things like our job, or any means in creation that we see, the means doesn't guarantee the effect. I.e., our job doesn't guarantee that we will get our money. Our employment, for example, doesn't guarantee that we will get our money. How many times have we worked and not gotten our money? Whether that was taken because of the taxes or the employer withheld the money. So we can't say, for example, a physical means in the world is a cause of our rizq. No, these are the circumstances. These are the dhuruf or the ahwal, the circumstances, the conditions under which we get our rizq. They're not the causes. The cause alone is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the mind can establish is that the causes that we think we see in the world that give us our rizq, they're not really our cause. The mind can sense that when we have our employment, we're not guaranteed to get our money. So there's no necessary connection between one, like our employment, and us getting our rizq. There's no necessary connection. And that's all the mind can really sense. That's all the mind can really arrive at, the conclusion that it can arrive at. Ultimately, the cause behind our rizq is beyond our senses. So it's a matter of the ghaib. So Islam has come to inform us that our rizq comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because our mind can't come to that conclusion. All the mind can conclude is that the nexus of asbab, of means in the world, are not the causes of our rizq. Because whenever we have a sabab, we're not guaranteed to have the effect. So whenever I'm in employment, I'm not guaranteed to get my money. So rizq is from Allah, not from any creature or any system in creation. And there are many, many ayat in the Quran that tell us that Allah is the sole cause behind our rizq, and not any creature or any system in creation. So Allah says, for example, وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ, eat from the rizq that Allah has provided for you, the sustenance that Allah has provided for you. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ رَزَقَكُمْ, the one who created you and then gave you your sustenance. أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ, spend from the rizq that Allah has given you, the sustenance that Allah has given you. يُبْسِطُ الرِّزْقَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, he will expand the sustenance of whoever he wishes. مَا مِنْ دَبَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقًا, there is nothing that walks on the face of the earth or crawls on the face of the earth, except that its rizq is from Allah Azza wa Jal. So what we say then is these are the information from the ghaib to tell us who is the real cause of our rizq. And the Quran informs us that the true provider of our rizq is Allah Azza wa Jal. So the circumstances by which we acquire our rizq is not the cause of our rizq. Nor is any human being the cause of our rizq. Rather, Allah is the one who gives us our rizq. Whether that rizq is halal or haram, like Imam Ash-Shurun Bulali, he says, وَقَدَّرَ أَرْزَاقَهُمْ وَآجَالَهُمْ وكل يستوفي رزقه حلالا أو حراما. So the rizq that we get, the sustenance that we get, whether we derive benefit from it or not, this is from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the means by which we procure or the by which we ascertain our sustenance, these are the circumstances. These are the hal, the ahwal, of the conditions of the dhuruf, the circumstances in which we procure our rizq. They're not the cause of our rizq. Because if they were the cause of our rizq, then every time this matter exists, our rizq would follow. But it doesn't follow. It doesn't follow. There are many people that work that don't get the rizq. And then before you know it, the rizq comes from some other means. My cousin was working very, very hard for a long time, working two jobs, thinking that those two jobs were the causes of his rizq. No, he ended up inheriting something from his family, which he never even thought about gaining that kind of wealth when it came to inheritance. It wasn't even in his mind. So he got that, but he didn't get it through working hard two jobs. So again, these are circumstances. Everything that we see in creation, these aren't necessary causes of our rizq. If A, then B follows. No. These are circumstances in which we procure our rizq. We attain our rizq. In other words, if these means were causes, then every time the cause was the means was there, the rizq would follow, and that's not the case. Our rizq might fail to materialize, yeah? So the only cause, which is the matter of the ghaib, which the mind cannot sense and come to a conclusion about, we're informed that from the ghaib, that it's Allah Azza wa Jal that is the cause of our rizq. Similarly, the ajal, the appointed times of death, the death is caused by the termination of the ajal, the lifespan, not by anything else. Not by anything else. Then he, rahimahullah, he had said, let me see up there. So the Quran being Kalamullah, bila kayfa. Look at Imam Ash-Shurun Bulali. He is not, even in this primer, he is not going into the metaphysical modality of Allah's speech. He says, nu'minu bi anna al-Qur'ana kalamullah bila kayfiyatin qawla wa anzalahu ala nabiyyihi wahya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So the Qur'an is the kalam of Allah, and this is all we're obligated to accept. We're not obligated to delve into the metaphysics of that, of the nature of that speech. But what we are required to ensure in our minds is that we have conviction that أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ بِالْحَقِيقَةِ لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ. It cannot be something, if it's a speech of Allah, then it can't be something that's created by anyone. لَا يُشْبِهُ قَوْلُ الْبَشَرَ. And what we must also accept is that no human speech can resemble Allah's speech. And if anyone gives Allah any kind of human attributions, then they have disbelieved. But the point here being is that Imam Ash-Shurun Bulali, rahimahullah, does not go into any details about what the kayfiyyah, the modality is. Of course, he's very clear that Allah is not like creation. Absolutely clear. That means his kalam is not like the kalam of creation. But he's not into the metaphysics. He's not into the metaphysics, because these are areas that the mind, it's not the majal al aql, it's not the realm of the aql to start to make judgments about or speculate deeply about Allah's nature and attributes, because they are not within the mahsusat. They're not within the realms of what can be sensed for human beings to have prior cognitive data in order to make judgments. the divine attributes are not a sense reality which to connect with when we make judgments about things. You see, when we make a hukum about something, when we make a judgment, al-hukum ala shay, when we want to make produce a thought about something, a fikr, which is a hukum on something, to judge whether something is the case or not, we need the existence of an external reality, al-waqi' illi na'ish fiha. We need a reality, an external world in which we exist and live. Then we need al-hawas al-khams that are functioning. We need a dimagh, a brain that is a dimagh that is functioning, which contains the ma'lumat al-sadiqa. And then we need some rabt between the ma'lumat al-sabiqa and what we have sensed. And so if there's some rabt there, then we can produce some, there's a connection between the data in our head and what we sensed. If we can come to understand or make sense of what we sense with our prior cognitive stored data, then we can start to make a judgment on something. But we don't have any stored data about the divine attributes because we haven't sensed them, right? So we can't make proper judgments about the divine attributes. They form in the they remain in the realm of speculation. So this is why he, rahimahullah, is just saying that the Quran is kalamullah bila kayfiyya qawla. This is Allah's a word, and there is not a modality that we seek, and we're not trying to uncover its details, because these are things beyond the senses. But what we do know is Allah is not like his creation, so his attributes are not going to be like his creation. And then he reiterates, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْخَلْقِ وَأَعْمَالَهُمْ. So if Allah created everything, then human actions must also fall under the generality of Allah's creation as well. So what I will do is I will pause it here, and then we will go through the bit where it says وَكُلٌّ يَسْتَوْفِ أَجْلَهُ. We will begin that بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى next week as we read on, and that will cover us. I'm going to read, inshallah, I'm going to read all of up to the eschatological section, the sections on the end time and the afterlife, and that will, and then inshallah that will be what we cover next week, bi-idhnillah. So I'll end it there. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. If there's any questions or comments, feel free to make them. Okay, then in that case, what I will do is, inshallah, we will see you in our third session next week when we continue reading Maraqi al-Sa'adat of Imam al-Shurum Budlali. Until then, Naraakum ala khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.